This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Oil is better than it was yesterday, but that's not saying much. From APM in New York, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. Oil prices are creeping back up today after falling to six-month lows yesterday. Prices are still well below $50 a barrel, and July was the worst month for U.S. crude since 2008. Analysts who had been hoping that things would turn around in the fall aren't totally sure what's going to happen next. Here's Amrita Sen, chief oil analyst at Energy Aspects, with more on oil's new volatility.
Against that backdrop, what you're getting more and more is very poor macroeconomic data from China, Latin America, also news that U.S. production, which is absolutely key to balancing this market, isn't really falling. All of that is actually adding a lot of downward pressure to prices. At the same time, you are hearing more and more of these big oil majors come out and cut capex, so you know that future production is going to fall. There are so many of these contradictory signals out there in the market. Naturally, it has been very volatile for prices.
And with that, let's do the numbers. The Greek stock market is tumbling for a second straight day. The rest of Europe is mixed. The FT 100 in London up 0.2%. Germany's DAX up about 0.1%. The CAC 40 in Paris down 0.3%. And the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. In earnings this morning, Toyota reported a record-high quarterly profit of more than $5 billion. Analysts said the results come directly from the weaker yen. Other numbers will peek at the financial health of CVS later this morning when the chain releases its latest quarterly earnings. The company has been branding itself less as a convenience store and more as a healthcare company. No more cigarettes, you may recall. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has more on how that strategy is playing out.
The pharmacy counter was put in the back of a CVS for a reason. Charles Ree is an analyst with Cowen and Company.
They're hoping that on your way out, you're going to realize, hey, I need some toothpaste, or maybe I'll buy a newspaper and, there's some gum at the front. And all of those are actually higher margin products than actually picking up drugs.
Now, the company is investing in actually providing health services. It's taken over the pharmacy counter at hundreds of Target stores. CVS bought Omnicare, a company that provides prescription drugs to long-term care facilities. And for years, it's been expanding walk-in clinics in its stores.
Convenience care or the retail care is going to be one of the biggest growth drivers in the next decade.
That's Mohan Naidu. He's an analyst, a health industry analyst with Oppenheimer. He says that growth is coming because lots of people are getting pushed into high deductible plans by their employers. And
the cost is definitely significantly lower going to a retail clinic than actually going to a physician office.
And maybe you'll still pick up a pack of gum on the way out. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Nearly 10 years ago, New Orleans was inundated by floodwaters when the city's levees failed spectacularly during Hurricane Katrina. After the flood, there was fierce debate among residents and outsiders about whether New Orleans could come back. Middle and working class neighborhoods like one called Gentilly struggled to rebuild. Marketplace wealth and poverty reporter Noel King has the story of a financial institution itself devastated that played a key role in the rebuilding.
Alden McDonald, the CEO of Liberty Bank, is walking the site of what will be a new branch.
What is behind this piece here?
Goes right here, and the other one's on the other side.
We're in Gentilly, a middle-class, racially mixed neighborhood whose northern end butts up against Lake Pontchartrain. McDonald says that as the city's only African-American-owned bank, Liberty's mission, in part, is to help the city build its black middle class.
We have used on this project so far, if not 100% minority contractors, is pretty close to it. So the engineers on this building, local, custom of ours, we're just providing jobs. building business, building the community.
Back in his office, McDonald tells me the flood nearly ruined Liberty. The six-story headquarters flooded from the top, the roof was ripped off. With customers scattered across the country, McDonald started to appreciate the importance of online banking. He hired 15 tech-savvy employees. Today, he says around 70% of those displaced customers still bank with Liberty from all around the country. The year after Katrina was the most profitable in the bank's history. McDonald says Liberty became more efficient.
We had facilities that we didn't reopen, and we should have closed them before, but didn't have the foresight, or we were servicing communities. Those communities didn't come back, so it afforded us an opportunity to rebalance our expense levels.
But for many people who did come back, Liberty was crucial, making home and car loans. Alicia Brookins remembers the first time she pried open her water-swollen door.
My refrigerator was in that corner. When I got here, it was on the other side of the room. That should tell you just how much of a force it was.
Brookins was without a home, a car, a cell phone. Everything was difficult, but she says one thing made her life a little easier. When Brookins' homeowner's insurance check finally arrived, her bank was closed, but Liberty was open for business in Gentilly.
What I liked about them, whenever you came in, hello, how you doing? Come on back, you need anything? That was a comfort because the big banks weren't doing that.
10 years after the flood, Liberty is building smaller branches and more ATM machines. Alden McDonald realized if Liberty could help New Orleans rebuild, it could do the same in inner city Detroit or Chicago or Kansas City. In New Orleans, I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
And before we go, the investment giant PIMCO, which operates the popular Total Return Fund, has been put on notice by the SEC. PIMCO said the Securities and Exchange Commission sent it a letter letting the company know it may take legal action against the fund. The notice lets PIMCO defend itself and hopefully head off any formal complaints. The SEC has been looking into whether PIMCO improperly valued some of its investments to make the fund look more successful than it really was. To be clear, PIMCO has not officially been accused of any wrongdoing. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.